All right. Thank you so much, Pastor Donnie. This has been amazing. This is like the most beautiful meeting facility I think I've ever seen. This is awesome. I think in the millennium, we're going to have a lot of places to hang out like this. This is really amazing. So I've really enjoyed being here. And I just have like this anticipation. I don't know why. I mean, I haven't traveled much the past 3 years since I became lead pastor. There's plenty to do around there, and I don't even know if Rick wants me to travel now that I'm lead pastor, but thank you so much. But I will say that whenever you travel and you meet new leaders, usually in about the first 30 seconds of meeting someone, you get an impression of how the meeting's going to go, as in like, you know, is there anything that was in your heart that now is not going to be able to be released? You just kind of get that impression. And within 30 seconds of meeting Donnie, I thought, man, this is going to be an amazing morning. This is going to be a great morning. And I just, the sense that I get is that you're a real pastor, which, you know, obviously you are a pastor, but also that you're an equipper. And I feel like you've had kind of a wide range of experience, which has enabled you to be an equipper for a wide range of people. And I also felt you really have a grace to help transition people who are unexposed to the things of the Spirit, either people who are brand new in the faith or people who have been in the faith for a very long time but really want to go deeper. You're a person who is a bridge to be able to bring them into the deep things of God without the stumbling blocks that might get in their way otherwise. So thank you so much for letting us be here this morning. I do want to introduce two men to you. This is Isaiah Smitley here. Go ahead and stand, Isaiah, so everybody sees you. This is Isaiah, awesome guy. He and I have spent a lot of time together in the past year just hanging out and getting to know each other, talking about God and the Scriptures. And this is Ed Perez. Go ahead and stand, Ed. And I've known Ed for a couple years. He actually has been a tremendous help in MSU this past year. He's been working hard there and been doing some traveling with Tom Hardiman, who oversees our network of ministries. And so I'm just really thankful to have these guys travel, you know, to be here with me this weekend. And they've been asking the Lord for some encouraging words for some of y'all. So I'm going to turn them loose here in a little while. So, all right. Well, it's amazing to be here. How many of you have been to Morningstar? Let me just ask that. Oh, wow. All right. Well, it's just family here then. Okay, good. The majority of you have been. Well, you know, we're kind of we're a very diverse kind of people. I mean, Rick is one of the most kind of diverse people I've ever met. Some of his best friends are anywhere from professional athletes to retired generals in the military to congressmen to people in Hollywood to some of the great, you know, generals of the faith who are ministering the body of Christ. And so there's kind of a very broad range of what you get exposed to at Morningstar. But really a common thread is that it is a prophetic place. There's just a place that really values the word of the Lord and really has a value for his sheep hear his voice. That if you are a son or a daughter of God, then you can hear the voice of your father. You know, that we can hear and that we can follow. And so you really never know what's going to happen. You know, it's just amazing that people will come up and just give you a word from the Lord and just, you know, share something with you that many times some of the most profound words that I've ever gotten have been from people who either I don't know or, you know, who people I don't have any relationship with who have no idea what's going on in my life, but they come up and give me a word that is ridiculously accurate. There was about a month in between the time that Rick asked me to be pastor until it was announced publicly. And during that time, I had 7 people in a month come up to me and give me words about, you know, the Lord's increasing your authority and you're being given a bigger platform and the Lord's stretching out your covering. It was like just walking through the halls, people are just zeroing in and just, you know, giving me encouraging words. So this morning I figured that we would just talk about kind of growing in our ability to hear the voice of God and growing in the prophetic, and then we're going to do some. So we're going to, you know, teach and do like Jesus did. I do want to mention a couple quick things before I get started. I just had my second and third book that just came out at the end of last year, two books on dreams. Adventures in Dreaming is the name of the book, and it's different than most books on dreams in that it's about the supernatural nature of dreams. It's not only about interpretation. Just give you an example of what I'm talking about. I've been doing a lot of classes since the book came out, a lot of workshops and things at conferences. And the most common thing that I've heard from people whenever they read the book or go through some of the workshops is that their dream life just starts, you know, really kind of waking up to dreams. You know, their dream life really starts to just kind of move whenever they get exposed to this teaching. And I've been getting amazing testimonies. Even the past week, I've had four people with really cool testimonies. And anyway, it's really awesome. So this girl who was in a class we did a couple months ago, she was brand new to dreams, and she had just started the book, just started the class. And she came in and she said, "Hey, I had this dream last night that I was in Pakistan. And I was face to face with this man who transformed into this creature, like this demonic creature, and he attacked me, and then we wrestled, and I overcame him, and he ran away." And she said, "But it seemed so real. It was kind of scary. It felt so real. But then at the end, it was very encouraging because I won the fight." And I said, "Wow, that's very interesting." And she said, "And my friend right now is in Pakistan." And it turns out this is someone that I know as well. It's a girl that we both know. She does crusades in Pakistan. She's a remarkable young lady. And it turns out that the very night that this girl had the dream, our friend who was in Pakistan was doing a meeting in this really crazy part of the country where she had to walk through a landfill to get to the meeting. And that night, there was someone involved in witchcraft that was sending all kinds of stuff against her, curses and that kind of stuff against her. But something broke through, and it ended up being this amazing night where people got saved and people got healed, and whatever attack was coming against them was totally stopped. But it was because this girl, in her dream, didn't dream about spiritual warfare. Her spirit engaged in spiritual warfare. She was in intercession as she slept. And so the book is full of that kind of concept, that dreams, sometimes dreams feel really, really real, right? That's because sometimes, in some ways, they are really, really real. There's some very real things that happen whenever we sleep. You've got multiple examples, actually, in the scriptures of people who go to sleep one kind of person. They have an encounter with God in their sleep, and then they wake up a different kind of person. Jacob goes to sleep, the deceiver, the taker by the heel. He has an encounter with God in his sleep. He wrestles with God, gets his hip dislocated and then healed. And he wakes up out of that experience walking differently for the rest of his life with his name changed. And the deceiver, the taker by the heel, has now been so transformed in encounter with God that he becomes qualified to be the father of the people of God from that point forward. He changes his name to Israel. The same is true with Solomon. He goes to sleep saying, "You know, I'm just a child. I don't know how to govern the people." And he gets one encounter in a dream, and he wakes up being the wisest man who's ever lived and the most glorified king that Israel ever had, with all kinds of wealth and honor and power and long life, all because he had a dream. And so the book is about the supernatural things that happen while we sleep. There's plenty about interpretation in there, but it's really about, you know, we sleep for about a third of our lives, right? So why not have the night redeemed, where our sleep becomes a profound place where we can hear from God, where we can encounter the presence of God, where we can experience, you know, if I was to say to you that a nightmare is probably a demonic attack, I don't think anyone would be surprised by that. You know, a child goes to sleep and they have this terrifying experience. I think that's evil. I think that you know, God, you know, that's not of God when someone has a nightmare like that. But that's only a counterfeit of what the Lord intends to do. The Lord intends to give us dreams that so impact us that they impart something to us. You know, you wake up from a nightmare sometimes, you feel it for hours or even for days, you're kind of disturbed. It's because the enemy has tried to impart something to us in a dream. Well, that's just a counterfeit of the kind of dreams that the Lord wants to give us, where he imparts hope, he imparts faith, he imparts spiritual gifts, he gives things to us in our sleep. And I could go on and on, and you know, we did a 6-hour or a 6-week course, and it still wasn't enough. So anyway, that's what's in the book. That's Adventures in Dreaming. This, the journal that goes with it, is a tool for interpreting dreams. There's a chapter at the beginning that tells you how to use it, but there's a template that it walks you through where you write out parts of your dream, and the feedback that I've gotten is that, and it's been true because we've used it for a decade now, but you plug your dream into this template, and by the time you're done, many times you have an interpretation, but every time you have tremendous understanding of your dream. So that's the two books. Two more quick things. These are two. There's a CD set and a DVD set, and I'll just summarize them by saying, oh, and the books are $10 for the book, $12 for the journal. These two things are a DVD set and a CD set that are basically our prophetic training and healing training, and they talk about living a supernatural lifestyle. The DVD set, I think, is like about 5 or 6 hours of teaching. The other one is 4 hours of teaching. The CD set actually has a session on how to do dream interpretation in evangelism, which is super cool. It's so easy to go to a coffee shop and say to the manager, hey, me and my friends want to come and buy your stuff, but do you mind if we set a sign on our table that says free dream interpretation? I've gotten a few no's before, but I've gotten way more yeses than I've had no's, because you're going and you're spending money and all you want to do is put a little sign on your table, and it's amazing what you get to do ministering to people in coffee shops, bookstores, all kinds of places like that. So the DVD set is 20, the CD set is 10, I believe, or maybe it's 12, 10 or 12, but they're all like literally half of what the retail is. So anyway, just had to do that, and I'm done. All right, so let's get right in here. His sheep hear his voice. I think one of the greatest gifts that God has given to us is his voice. He has not left us as orphans. He's given us the Spirit. He's given us the gift of having a father who interacts with us. Just like a father has compassion on his only son, so the Lord has compassion on us. He wants relationship with us. He wants intimacy with us. He wants friendship. He wants communication. I want to have a face-to-face relationship with God like Abraham had, like Moses had. I want close contact with the Lord. And one of the ways that we grow in relationship is we grow in our sensitivity to His voice. I mean, He is the Word. It's His nature to communicate. He loves to speak. And many times the gap between God speaking and our hearing is just growing in our ability to identify the fact that He's speaking to us. It's kind of like right now, I've heard Bobby Connor say that right now this room is full of all kinds of television stations and radio stations. We just can't hear them or see them unless we have the right kind of equipment to tune in to what's, you know, in the airwaves and to then project on a screen or then produce from a speaker. If we had a radio or if we had a television, we could tap into what's actually being released in this room. In the same way, I mean, the heavens declare the glory of God. The earth shows forth His handiwork. There's always revelation from heaven to earth. And if we're sensitive, then we can tap into what God's saying for us and for others. And to me, I love the prophetic because I want friendship with God. I want relationship with Him. And hearing His voice is one of the most amazing ways to interact with Him and to have relationship with Him. You know, in the last days, the Lord says He'll pour out His Spirit. This is Joel 2 and Acts 2. And kind of the hallmark of that last day outpouring of the Spirit is that sons and daughters will prophesy. That means male and female. Old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. That means old and young. He says, I will pour out My Spirit on all flesh, and they will prophesy. And there will be signs in the heavens and wonders in the earth. So God's going to do something. The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, whether that's, you know, 20 years or 200 years, I think we're a lot closer than we are, you know, far away. But the closer we get, we can be sure that there will be an increase of the voice of the Lord. Young and old, male and female, God is pouring out His Spirit and He's speaking to His people. And so I love being in an environment where, you know, there's freedom to say to someone, hey, I feel like the Lord gave me a word for you, because, again, I've had some of the most edifying words come just through people that I don't even know. One of the things that we teach at Morningstar is, you know, the New Testament gift of prophecy is not infallible. You know, we're actually told, 1 Thessalonians 5, do not despise prophecy, but test all things and hold fast to that which is good. Which means that, you know, you test a word whenever you get a word. You take it before the Lord and you say, is this God? Is it not God? Maybe the first two-thirds of it was God and the last third I don't feel good about. And that's totally okay. That's why 2 Corinthians 14, it says, you know, when you're in a meeting, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. You know, it is because you're weighing the word and you're saying, oh, well, you know, that was really awesome. This really bears witness. This might be just because you really like me and you wanted to say something nice, but, you know, we're weighing it and we're growing. You know, all of us, I would say, would be in agreement that we are still growing in our relationship with God. We are infallible beings and our gifts are infallible. And even though I have seen a whole lot of people healed whenever I have laid hands on them to pray, there's also been times that I have laid hands on people to pray and they haven't been healed. Does that mean that the gift is not genuine or that God doesn't heal anymore? Or does it just mean that for whatever reason, one of 10 reasons, at that moment the person didn't get healed? And the same is true of the prophetic. We're growing in these things. And we want to step out, and the more we step out, the more God moves, and the more we step out, the more accurate we get in our prophetic ministry. But there's freedom to step out and to make a mistake. It's not the end of the world. It doesn't make us false. I think it makes us full of faith, actually, whenever we step out. It's not, you know, it doesn't mean that anybody's false if they don't get it 100%. Sometimes, you know, we miss the interpretation or we miss the application, but the revelation is genuine. I just say that to say that, you know, in a few minutes, whenever we share some words, if there is a word that doesn't sit well with you, then just take it before the Lord. You know, maybe it's something you put on the shelf and 5 years from now you say, wow, that was me. Or maybe 2 weeks from now. Or maybe you just say, I don't think that was for me. It might have been for the person sitting next to me. And that's totally okay. But I also want to say that the voice of the Lord is such an incredible gift. Any word that God would give to us is more precious than silver and gold and diamonds. Any word from heaven, any word that God would give to us that could potentially direct our lives towards the path of the righteous that is laid out in front of us, that we would walk in the fulfillment of what God created us for, is a great gift to be treasured as precious. And so I would also encourage all of us that whenever we receive a word, we say, yes, Lord, thank you for this gift, and to take it seriously and actually value it as something that God's given us as a gift. All right, so I want to zero in on, I'm going to do this quickly, but I want to zero in on two elements of the prophetic that I think are both really awesome and things that we can, I think there's no limit to how much we can grow in these things. The first one would be having eyes to see, having our eyes open so that we can see things that we don't just see with our natural eyes. You know, there's I'm going to skip that part, actually. That would take a little too long. So having eyes to see. You know, in the Old Testament, there were two kinds of prophetic ministry. Now, there might have been many, but there were two broad kinds of prophetic ministry. There were two different ways that people prophesied. There might even be three, now that I'm thinking about it, but two main ways. One is there are words for the prophetic that have to do with the seer gifts. Dreams, visions, seer, prophet. There's three Hebrew words. There's ro'eh and ra'ah and kozeh, and all of these mean vision or dream or seer, prophet. The words also have to do with perception. So some of these words mean, like, you know, whenever Jesus would look at the crowd and he perceived their thoughts, that's one of these seer words. It's what do I see? What do I perceive? And the words also have to do with dreams and visions and seer, prophet. And there's many, many times, it's like 1,300 times that the seer gifts show up in the Old Testament. there's this other kind of prophetic gift called the Nabi prophetic, which is different than a seer prophetic. Seer prophetic is, you know, I have a word for you because I perceived something or I saw something or I felt something. The Nabi prophetic is different in that it actually means the one in whom the word of the Lord springs forth. So someone who's prophesying in this way, it's not that they got a vision and now they're sharing it with you. It's that there is a word bubbling up from within them. Another way that Nabi is translated is the inspired man. It's by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a word just bubbles up and just comes out. It's not because I saw something or felt something. It's because there's a word that just kind of bubbled up from within, the one in whom the word of the Lord springs forth. This whole idea of having eyes to see, which is something that I move in more than Nabi, although I want both because I think both are very relevant for different situations. This has to do with, you know, if someone is going to grow in their ability to see in the Spirit, then there's a journey to become sensitive to the Holy Spirit. There's a journey of not only looking with our natural eyes, but looking with the eyes of our heart, looking with our spiritual eyes. You know, Paul prayed something. He prayed for the Ephesians, "I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, so that you would," and then he lists all of these things, that you'll grow in the knowledge of him and you'll eventually walk in exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or imagine. We'll get there, but I just want to kind of hone in for a second on that concept of the eyes of our heart being enlightened. You know, enlightened means, the word is literally photizo, which is the same thing that happens in a photograph whenever light impresses itself upon film and it causes there to be an image left imprinted on the film. And so this, Paul was praying that the light of revelation, the light of the Holy Spirit, would shine into our heart in such a way that it impresses an image upon us. I think he's saying, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. I pray that they would be sanctified. I pray that they would be full of light, that the light of revelation and the light of the Holy Spirit would open and awaken your eyes. Also in Hebrews 5, 13 and 14, there's this verse that is so fully loaded. I don't know how much we'll be able to dig into it, but it's talking about some kinds of Christians who are mature and others who are still on milk. And he has said to the Hebrews, you know, there are things that I want to tell you, but you're still on milk. I wanted to give you meat, but you're still on milk, so I can't. And then he elaborates a little bit, and he says this, "For everyone who partakes of only milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." But Hebrews 5:14, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." That's a mouthful. So he's talking about some who are on milk, and there's nothing wrong with being on milk. Obviously, we're all in some areas of our life, we're still maturing and we're still growing. But he says there is a kind of maturity where we advance past milk in a certain area of our life, and we, by reason of use, have exercised our senses to discern both good and evil, which probably isn't the best translation. I'm going to talk about what the two Greek words are there, but there's a maturing that happens by reason of use where our senses become alive, where we're able to see and we're able to perceive beyond just that which we see with our natural senses. So we're going to go through a quick word study here. I am a nerd when it comes to Bible study and word study. I love spending 8 hours with Bible study software. I mean, that's my happy place, is just locked in a room with a lot of books. And so I'm going to try not to be too much of a nerd going through this, but this is just such a loaded verse. Here's what it's saying. By reason of use, the Greek word there means by continual practice, so much that you've made a habit of it. So there are mature people who have made a habit of doing something. What have they done? By reason of use, they have trained their senses. Their senses, the Greek word means their organs of perception. That's literally what it means, your organs of perception. Bob Jones, who is a prophetic guy that actually went to be with the Lord a couple years ago, many of you may have heard of him, he talked about hearing from God with all five of your senses. You can see, you can hear, you can touch, you can taste, you can smell. All of your senses can perceive the invisible realm in the same way that your five natural senses can. You know, how many of you have ever been in, say, a worship service, and you began to smell a sweet fragrance? Maybe something like incense, or maybe something like apples is an interesting one, because in Song of Solomon it says that the bridegroom's breath smells like apples. But sometimes there's a sweet fragrance that manifests in worship, and it's because there's incense ascending before the throne. And sometimes our spiritual senses pick up on that. How many of you, whenever you go to shake someone's hand, you feel like you either get a word for them or you feel like you know them just because you shook their hand? It's because by your sense of touch, you have just perceived something about them because you have a spiritual sense of touch in the same way that you have a natural sense of touch. You know, we have our natural sight where we can look at each other and we can see each other, you know, naturally, but we also have spiritual sight so that we can look at each other and we can perceive each other by the Spirit. You know, Paul says, no longer do we know anyone after the flesh, but we know one another by the Spirit. He's talking about having spiritual sight so that whenever we see each other, we are seeing and perceiving each other with spiritual eyes and not only just with natural eyes. And the way that we do it is by continual practice. You know, we just say, God, I'm going to step out in this. I'm going to try this. I'm just going to step out. So, Lord, would you give me a word for someone? And then I'm just going to pay attention to, you know, what am I perceiving? What am I feeling? Have you ever walked into a store or a restaurant and you just kind of get the heebie-jeebies a little bit? You know, it's like it feels dirty even though it's clean. Or it kind of feels dark even though the lights are on in the place. You know what I'm talking about? Some places you just feel like it's kind of creepy in there. It's because your spiritual senses are perceiving that there's something unholy or unclean in the atmosphere. In the same way, have you ever walked into a place like whenever I walked in here this morning, there's light in this place, not just because the lights are on, but have you ever walked into a place and you feel the presence of God, or you walk into a place and you feel joy, or you feel peace? You go into someone's home and you think, man, it is so peaceful in here. What is that? Well, it could be because in the invisible realm, you know, these people, they worship God in their house and they have prayer lives, and there's angels who just hang out in their house, and you walk in and even though you don't see them with your natural eyes, you are perceiving by the Spirit what's going on in the invisible realm. And this might sound kind of out there, but this is something that in one area of our life we can mature in. Now, someone could be at ground zero, never having done this before. That doesn't mean they're immature, but it does mean that in this realm of hearing the voice of God and perceiving the invisible realm, there is maturing that can be done. And I want to be fully mature. I want to be where at any time, in any place, God can speak to me and I will hear His voice and I can respond to Him because I have matured to a place where the Lord can just use me anytime, anywhere, however He wants to. And so this is something that I want to grow in. And we do it by continual practice or by habit, by reason of use. So He says, solid food belongs to those who are mature, that is, those who by reason of use has their senses exercised to discern good and evil. That word exercised was a Greek word that was used for the Olympic Games, the Greek Olympic Games. Whenever someone was training for the Olympic Games, they were exercising in this way. It's the same word. And so the writer of Hebrews, some think it's Paul, I probably think it's Barnabas, you know, like, everybody has an opinion and no one really cares because we don't know. But anyway, whoever the writer was used this word that his hearers would have been very familiar with. Everyone knew the Olympics in ancient Greece. And so he's saying these people who are maturing in their spiritual senses, they are training just like an Olympic athlete. It means to vigorously exercise and train for the Olympic Games. In other words, this is not something we grow in automatically. It's something that we intentionally grow in. It's something that we work out our spiritual muscles in the same way that we would go to work out if we're going to be preparing for the Olympics. And then finally, that word discern there, they have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. The word discern means to perceive or to distinguish or to discern. It means, you know, you're perceptive, you're seeing and you're sensing and you're feeling. I know sometimes those words sound kind of new agey. I'm aware of that. I used to do a lot of ministry to the new age. We would go and set up, we would actually go and set up ministry tables under the moniker, the Mystics of Yeshua. We would go in and literally set up at these events, and people would come and we would prophesy to them. And then as they weep, we would say, you know, what you're feeling right now is the presence of God. Jesus is the one who is speaking to us. Do you know Jesus? He's the one who died on the cross to save you from your sins. We had such fruit in these events that we would literally have an hour-long line waiting to speak to us. At the first event we ever did of the Mystics of Yeshua, the organizers of this psychic fair snuck through our line without us knowing. And whatever happened there, I can't imagine what happened. The Lord did something, because from that time forward, whenever people would come through, because people were telling us this, the organizers of the fair would say, listen, if you're only going to go to one person in the reading room, and this is like where all the fortune tellers are and us, if you're going to go to only one person in the reading room, go to the Mystics of Yeshua. They've got the hottest energy in here. So the psychic fair leaders are sending people to us. We had people getting saved, getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, getting delivered. It was amazing. One of the psychics actually, on her lunch break, snuck by our table. We didn't know she was a psychic. And one of our team grabbed her hand to pray for her and saw a vision. And he said, I see that you used to be in the church, but you felt misunderstood and you got bitter and you left the church, and now you've moved into this darkness. But God is calling you to repent. And she starts weeping and she starts repenting, and she says, that's exactly right. That's exactly what happened. And then she says, wow, she's wiping her eyes. Oh, and she accepted the Lord. She repented, accepted the Lord, gets baptized in the Holy Spirit right there in the psychic fair. She's drying her eyes and she says, wow, man, I'm on my lunch break. I better get back over there. And she's literally got a booth there. But she didn't go back to her booth. She actually left and went home, because an hour later we didn't see her. The next morning we come in and the organizers are taking her booth down. And we go and ask, you know, where's Joan? And they said, Joan called and said that she wouldn't be coming back to this event or any more of our events. And so some of our team followed up with her and met with her and prayed with her. So she literally renounced all of that stuff because of prophetic ministry. We had amazing things happening in those events. So I just say that to say, I know some of these words, what do you sense? What do you feel? What do you perceive? I get that, you know, the enemy has tried to take those words, but the enemy can't have Bible words. They were ours first. You know, Jesus perceived their thoughts and he answered them and said, you know, these are like God's stuff before the enemy ever tried to counterfeit them. So to discern between the last part of the verse, he says the mature have grown and they've vigorously exercised till all of their spiritual faculties can now discern the good and the evil. The Greek words are the kalos and the kakos. And they literally mean the kalos. Discern the kalos means those things which are beautiful, excellent, surpassing, precious, magnificent, pure, praiseworthy, things that are comforting and confirming. I mean, how could you describe the nature of God any more than this? It's saying we grow in our ability to discern the things of God. That's the kalos. But then the kakos are things that are worthless, depraved, injurious, bad, evil, harmful, ill, wicked. These are, you know, evil things. These are the things of the enemy. So we grow in our ability to discern the things of God and to perceive what's going on in the invisible realm, so that we know the will of God, but also so that we are not ignorant of the enemy's schemes and his devices. We're also able to discern what the enemy's doing so that we can counter what the enemy's doing. And so this is a certain kind of maturity that I am in hot pursuit of myself. I mean, I'm in the scriptures every day. I have a prayer life that just the past year has been so amazing that it's my favorite thing to do is pray, and I'm seeking to mature in many areas of my life, but this is one of them that I want to grow up into fullness so that I can hear the voice of God and so that I can be an effective minister of the gospel because I have exercised my spiritual faculties so that I can discern both the things of God and not ignorant of the enemy's schemes. So I want eyes to see. I think the reason that the writer of Hebrews says that this is maturing is because you can't grow in this stuff any other way than going after it yourself. You can't get this from anyone else. You know, he starts out by talking about milk, and he says, you know, there are those who are on milk. Milk is, like I right now, I've got three kids. My youngest is 2.5 months old, beautiful baby girl. And I don't get a lot of sleep, but my life is amazing. And she's still nursing. And so what happens is my wife eats meat and she eats nutritious food and she takes it in and she processes it. And then her body gives milk to my baby because my baby can't eat meat and solid food and take those nutrients herself. So my wife does it. And so those who are only on milk is whenever there's someone else who's eating the meat and taking in the nutrients, and then they're giving it out in a form that is milk so that everyone can receive nourishment from it. And that is awesome, and that's good. And, you know, I listen to tons of teaching, and there's a lot of pastors. I read their books and listen to their stuff because they've eaten the meat, and now they're giving me milk that I'm, you know, consuming. However, this whole thing about hearing the voice of God and being able to see in the invisible realm, you can't get it from anyone else. It's a maturity thing. We've got to eat the meat ourselves. We've got to go after it ourselves if we're going to grow in it. I think that's why he makes the point about maturity. I'm going to keep on moving here, skip through a lot of stuff. All right, so our eyes. That's the first thing I wanted to mention. I want to grow. I want my eyes to be enlightened. Another thing, this to me is one of the ways that we've all heard the voice of God and followed the voice of God, but just by recognizing it as the voice of God, it's amazing how pronounced it becomes and how obvious it becomes. Colossians 3:15 says this, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The word rule there, the Greek word, is the Greek word for umpire. Let the peace of God be your umpire. Let the peace of God make the call. Let the peace of God lead you. You know, how many of you have ever been in a situation where by all natural appearances, things look bad? You know, it does not look good. It seems like things are going to be bad and you shouldn't do this. You know, it doesn't make sense that you would do this, but you just say, you know, I just have peace about it. I don't know why. It doesn't make sense, but I just have peace about it, right? Have we experienced that before? There's a witness of the Spirit, a leading of the Spirit, where the Spirit is using the peace of God to be your empire and your umpire and your leader, and you can follow your peace and follow the voice of God because you have peace about something, even though in the natural it doesn't look good. And then in the same way, have you ever, like I got invited to go to Israel last year, and it was going to be amazing. I've never been. I've wanted to go, and the trip was going to be paid for, and I'm like, sign me up. Where, you know, give me the dotted line. I'm in. But I did not have peace about it. I don't know why. I still don't know why, but I did not have peace about it. And I knew that I couldn't go because I just had a kind of a check in my spirit. I didn't have peace about it. And so the peace of God, let the peace of God be your umpire. Let the peace of God make the call. I wanted to follow the voice of God by following my peace. And even though this seemed like the most amazing opportunity, I had to say, ask me again next year. I can't do it. I don't have peace about it. Following our peace is one of the ways that on a day-to-day basis we can hear and we can discern the voice of God and follow the voice of God. And I love the peace of God. To me, you know, experiencing the peace of God is one of the, you know, the greatest experiences of human nature is following the peace of God. I absolutely love it. So I want to have eyes to see. I want to be sensitive to the leading of the Lord, sensitive to the peace of God. I want to be like a feather in the wind of the Spirit of God. I want to be sensitive to the slightest moving of the Spirit. I want my ear to be so tuned in to the voice of God that the slightest whisper will get my attention. I want to grow in these things. I want to exercise my spiritual senses, my faculties, until I can hear and until I can see. It changes our whole perspective on life whenever our eyes are open and whenever our ear is sensitized. You remember the whole Elisha and his servant, the king has sent for Elisha, and there's the Syrian army, I think the Syrian army has surrounded them, and his servant is freaking out because there is this army that's about to destroy them. And Elisha prays one simple prayer for his servant. He says, "Lord, open his eyes." And whenever the Lord opens his eyes, he sees that that little human army, I mean, is puny in comparison to the host of heaven. He says, there are far more with us than there are with them. The mountains were full of fiery chariots of the armies of God that he saw and perceived, all because his eye was open. I want to leave you with one more thought about having our eyes open. This comes out of Ephesians chapter 1, the prayer that I mentioned, where Paul prays. You know, here's what he prays for the Ephesians. He says, "I don't cease giving thanks for you. I always make mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." I want to stop right there and say, this is something I've prayed 1,000 times, and I'll pray 10,000 more. I want the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I want to know God better. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him is the Holy Spirit, but it's a particular leading and manifestation of the Holy Spirit that will lead us into deeper relationship with Jesus. I mean, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, this is something I think we should pray on a regular basis, that the Lord would give this to us and we will grow in wisdom and revelation. He says, "that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the mighty working of his power." I want to say something here that might be challenging, but I want you to search it out for yourself. Whenever Paul prays that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, the word that he uses there, he says, "I pray that the eyes of your dianoia would be enlightened." Your dianoia. And Pastor Rogers could probably maybe correct me on this, but everything that I have discovered, here's what the word means. Dia means to pass through. Noia or naus is the mind. He's praying that the eyes that see what passes through your mind would be enlightened. This word is almost always, it's only in the Bible a few times. It's usually translated imagination. You know, exceedingly abundantly above what all you can ask or imagine. It's the same word. It's your imagination. And so the only reason I mention that is because Paul is praying that the Holy Spirit would do something in us so that our imagination or our image center would be sanctified, so that by the Spirit of God, we could see and hear by the things that pass through our mind. Sometimes the voice of God sounds like your thoughts. Sometimes a vision that you get begins with an image that you will see in your mind, and it would be easy to pass it off as, "Oh, that's just me. That's just my mind. That's just my imagination." But Paul's saying, "I pray that the eyes that see what passes through your mind, the eyes of your imagination would be flooded with light, so that your mind and your image center, and so that your thoughts become a vehicle of revelation, where the Holy Spirit can speak to you in such a way that, you know, you're flooded with light." You remember Jesus said, the eye is the lamp of the body. And he says, if your eye is single, then your eye will be full of light, and therefore your whole body will be full of light. But he says, but if your eye is darkness, how great will the darkness be? our eyes are intended to be flooded with light. I mean, the Lord wants our eyes to be flooded with light so that our entire body will be flooded with light. He's saying, I want you to see Jesus so clearly. He is the light of the world. And when we have our eyes open, we have our eyes enlightened in the knowledge of Him, our whole body is flooded with light. There's a reason that there is a battle over the eyes of this generation. I mean, everywhere that you look, I mean, you don't have to go looking for pornography for your eyes to be damaged. Everywhere that you look, there is an assault against your eyes. And the reason is God intends a generation to have eyes that are flooded with light so that we are people who have grown in our ability to see Jesus clearly, our ability to hear and perceive the voice of God and to see in the invisible realm, and our imagination is sanctified and our mind is full of revelatory light so that we're so sensitive to the voice of God and the moving of the Spirit that we're just like a feather in the wind with the slightest breeze, that we hear the slightest whisper. The Lord intends for our entire body to be full of light, and of course, light is revelation. So, Lord, open our eyes. Fill our eyes with light. That's what I would pray. I think what we're going to do, I want to end with this, and then we're going to pray together, and then I'm going to hand it over to Pastor Donnie for a minute, and then maybe we come back and do ministry for a few minutes. I think our greatest need for spiritual vision is that it's with our spiritual eyes that we see the Lord. You know, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that when we behold the glory of the Lord, as in a mirror, we behold His glory and we are transformed into His image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Whenever our eye is full of light, whenever our spiritual eyes are open and we're walking in the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, we see Jesus clearly. We behold His glory. We encounter Him in such a way that it transforms us into His image. We become more and more like Jesus because we see Him more and more clearly. And when you behold Him clearly, you become more like Him. We are in need of having our eyes open because we need to see Jesus more clearly. I know I need to see Jesus more clearly. I want to be transformed by beholding the Lord. And it's when we see Him clearly that we get His dream and His vision for our life. And when we have vision for our life, we're running and not growing weary. We've got, you know, the vision for our life, so we're running because we have the vision for our life. Those who have no vision perish because they cast off restraint. Without vision for our life, without seeing Jesus clearly, without having our eyes open, without having clear vision, we don't have motivation to run and not grow weary and to stay on course. But when we have our eyes open and we see Him clearly and we get His clear vision for our life, there's something that happens in us that we are on course and we're pursuing our calling and we're being transformed and we're becoming everything that He's called us to be. And so what I'd like for us to do is just for a minute, let's pray together that the Lord would open our eyes, that the Lord would cause us to be sensitive to the Spirit, sensitive to His peace, sensitive to His moving. And if you're in agreement with that and you want to pray with us, why don't you just go ahead and stand and we'll pray together. All right, I'm going to pray for our eyes. I'm going to put my hand over my eyes. You can do the same if you want. Lord, we say, open our eyes that we may see. God, would You open our eyes that we would see Jesus clearly? Would You fill our eyes with light? God, would You open our eyes that we might see clearly, that we would see in the Spirit? God, would you open our heart, Lord, that the eyes of our heart, God, would be enlightened. Lord, would You cause us to be so sensitive to the slightest breeze of Your Spirit that we're moved like a feather, that our ears would be so sensitive to the slightest whisper of Your voice that we would hear and that we would respond. God, would You help us to walk that journey of exercising our spiritual senses, of training like an Olympic athlete, that we would become so sensitive that we can accurately hear your voice and accurately perceive what you're doing, that we would be like Jesus, that we only say what you're saying and we do what you're doing because we're so tuned in to who you are and what you want and what you're doing and what you're saying. Jesus, would you sensitize us to your Spirit? Would you sensitize us to the leading of the Spirit? Sensitize us to the leading of the peace of God that moves us, the peace of God that is our umpire, that makes the call over our life. God, we want to grow up into maturity in this area. We want to be those who are always on because you're always on, that we can always respond to the voice of God and the leading of God for our lives in Jesus' name. And God, I do ask you for an impartation of a gift for dreams and a gift of visions for each one here, that those seer giftings, God, that enable us to see and perceive and get dreams and visions, God, would you release an impartation, God, to each one here who says yes, each one here who would want it, would you release and would you activate the seer gifts to a far greater level in each one of our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, Pastor. All right, I'm going to go ahead and invite Ed and Isaiah up here. And Tom, if you got anything, you feel free to join us. But we just had Sean Bolts at Morningstar for a couple days, and he's really moving in some incredible gifting in the Word of Knowledge. And this is something I've been pursuing for a long time, and we practice the prophetic on our waitresses all the time and, you know, people out in the streets. But one thing Sean said that I have just taken as my own for this weekend, he said, I practice the Word of Knowledge on people I'm probably not going to see again. That way, if I bomb, it's really no big deal. So I actually, this morning, got some visions, and I'm just going to step out, and last night I did this at the other meeting, and it actually worked. So we'll see if these work, but it's funny, even though Sean has this incredible gift, he's still uncomfortable every time he does it. It's funny to kind of watch him, but it's possible, you know, to share something and, you know, you miss the interpretation or whatever, but I'm just going to kind of launch out and just see how it goes here. All right, so I felt like there were a few ladies, more than one, who recently have been very intentionally pursuing healing ministry. So either for your own life or for, you know, something you actually are interested in growing in, or it's just you've really been pursuing God for healing recently. So if that's you, let me know who you are, because there is a word connected to that. Okay, so here's a lady over here, over here, over here, over here. Okay, and are you guys doing this together or separately? Separately, okay. I'm going to throw this out here and take it before the Lord and you know, to your leaders, but I saw you actually doing this together, and whether it's all of you or just a couple of you, but there was a pursuit of healing that a few ladies were doing together, and I saw the Lord speak to you, and he said, I will give you what you're seeking. And then on the other side of this, you were ministering to leaders because what you had received in this season of seeking after healing. And so whether it was personally healing for yourself or growing in the ministry of healing, the Lord did a remarkable thing in you. You received what you were seeking, but on the other side of it, you were actually ministering to leaders. All right. I saw a vision of our worship leader back home, whose name is David, but he is a David. I mean, he is a David who worships before the Lord. He's a really great guy. A lot of you probably know David Valier, but I saw David, and I saw the Lord give him a hug from behind, and he strengthened him, and he encouraged him. And I thought, well, maybe that's just a word for David back home, and maybe it is, but I felt like the Lord said, no, it's actually for this morning. There's a David this morning who needs encouraging and strengthening. So let me ask, is anyone here named David, first or middle name, named David? Someone should probably respond pretty quickly if that's you, so I'm assuming no. Is there anyone who you identify with David? Like you would say, you know, I'm a man after God's heart. I am a David. You could even be a woman after God's heart. But okay, all right. So you would consider yourself a David. That's kind of a dialogue you've had before the Lord. Okay. All right. So what I wanted to do, if you're okay with it, is just a few of us to just gather around you for just a moment and pray for you, to encourage you and to strengthen you. Would that be okay? All right. So who wants to join me praying for this David here? Lord, we thank you for this man. We thank you, God, for a heart that is chasing after you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, that you're strengthening him. God, that there's a season of wilderness where he's battled against the lion and the bear, and there are even greater battles that he's walked through, God, but there is also a place of rest where he is sitting in his authority. He's sitting in his seat that you've designed just for him, and there is a place of favor, and there is a place of presence of God. There's a place where the whole thing with Saul has come to an end, and there is a transition into sitting in his place and in his seat. And so I just speak over you that there is transition. There is a time of rest that is coming. There's a time of refreshing in the presence of God. And the scriptures tell us to bear with one another in love. And it's about shouldering up next to one another and saying that our strength will be your strength. And so we just strengthen you in the Lord. We encourage you in the Lord now. We just give to you our strength and our encouragement, and we bless your inner man and we strengthen your inner man by the Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. All right, I just got a couple more here and then I'm going to hand it off to the team. How tall are you, sir? Yes, you. About 6 foot, okay. All right. I believe this is for you, because I knew it would be someone 6 foot or taller with gray hair. You know, Steve Thompson once told me that if you're doing ministry from the front and you don't know what to say next, if you look down and just go like this, it looks like you're really in deep communion with God and you're really hearing from the Lord. But, yeah. But all I had was the identifier, and I think that it's you because you look very much like the man that I saw. But I felt like the Lord wanted to encourage you. I felt like that He wanted to encourage you that He perceives some things in your life differently than you do, and it's kind of like there are scales that are weighted differently than you do, and you have put a lot more weight on the scales than you even realize. And there's even been a waiting, like a period of time where you have been waiting for some breakthrough and you've been waiting for the scales to tip. And it may feel like there's not even been progress, but what you may not realize is that you are so close to tipping the scales. There's a faithfulness that you've walked in, and you've walked in faithfulness without even knowing if there's going to be reward at the end. But there's a scripture, it's either Revelation 5 or 7, or it might even be Revelation 9, but it's this picture of there's the angels in heaven around the altar, and they take this bowl in their hand, and the bowl has the prayers of the saints in it. and they take the prayers of the saints, and they take fire from the altar, and they take incense, and they mix it all together in a bowl, because the time came where the prayers of the saints had filled up high enough that the bowl was full now, and then the bowl was dumped out on the earth, and there is an earthquake, and there's lightning and thunder. It's like heaven responded because there was something released from the earth, and the bowl was full. And I feel like there's the bowl is almost full. The scale is weighted more than you realize. And there is a faithfulness that has great reward that you've walked in. And so I just want to agree with your faith and with your prayers. Lord, what is your name? John. All right. And so, Lord, just like John the Revelator received things from heaven that were more glorious and more great and more wonderful than he ever could have imagined, Lord, I just honor the faithfulness that John has walked in. And I ask you, Lord, that the faithful pursuit, God, that the continually pressing in and refusing to turn back, that there is a weight on the scale, that there is a bowl that is almost full. And I just agree with his faith for breakthrough now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I felt like that there's a real natural element to this, that this is not just something spiritual you've been contending for. This is something real life, and it's something that you've been continually walking in and pressing in for, but the breakthrough is just around the corner. All right. Okay. One more that's individual, and then the next one is corporate for the church. Has anyone had stitches in the roof of their mouth? Has anyone ever had stitches in the, or a surgery in your mouth that that left stitches? And it's not that you have them now or that you're still in pain. That was just the identifier. Okay. Was it a significant thing? Like there was actually stitches in the roof of your mouth? Okay. So you actually have the stitches in your mouth now? Okay. Gotcha. But you said Wednesday you're going back in, or is that what you said? Okay. So it's kind of a recent thing. Okay. All right. So that was another identifier. I don't have anything yet, but I felt like there was someone who had had stitches in their mouth. You know, I've done a lot of prophetic evangelism. That was what I did for years and years before I was in full-time ministry. And there's a promise in Exodus whenever Moses is going to go into Pharaoh and he says, God, I can't talk. I don't know what to say. And the Lord promises him, I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say. And so on that promise, Moses goes. And I, hundreds of times, without exaggeration, I've walked up to people who don't know Jesus on the street and I've said, you know what? I really feel like God has an encouraging word for you. Do you mind if I share it with you? And, you know, most of the time they'll say yes, and they want to know what the word is. And so do I, because I don't have anything. I just know that God's faithful and he wants to minister to everyone all the time, and so I just do that. So anyway, so the word about the stitches was just the identifier. One of the things that Bob Jones talked about, because he knew a lot of symbolism. He was very remarkable in that respect. But he would equate teeth to relationships. And the reason why is because in the Song of Solomon, the bridegroom says to the bride, your teeth are like flocks of sheep. I guess that was like majorly romantic back in that day. My wife, I don't know if she would get the power on that. But so he says, flocks of sheep, that's congregations of people, and so it's all about relationship. And so he would say teeth are relationship. And I felt like there's relationships from maybe even from long ago, and relationships that maybe have even been extracted, or relationships that there hasn't been contact with for a long time, but the Lord is bringing a serious reconnection. He's bringing a serious healing. And maybe it's not even anything that you're aware that there's something there, but I felt like the Lord is bringing relationships to reconnect that are going to be very significant. And it's going to feel like healing, whether it's something that you feel like you need healing in or not. And so I just want to pray that for you. And so what is your name? Greg, all right. And so, Lord, for Greg, I thank you for relationships. God, I thank you for those that Greg is destined, that he is meant to be in relationship with. God, that he is meant. I even feel like there's some that, you know, are meant to have close relationship with you. And so, Lord, we thank you for relationships that are being connected to Greg. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And do you need, is it a healing need with what's going on with your mouth, or is it pretty well covered now? Okay, good. Just going to pray just in case. All right. Okay, the last thing that I had, this was pretty cool. It was kind of an ongoing series of things that I saw, but I really felt like, and this is for the church, I really felt like God was going to give you a new strategy for children. And this was to disciple children, especially fatherless children. And I felt like it was kind of like the heart of the Father for children was just going to be downloaded to you guys in an even more significant way. I saw he gave you a manual for kids and youth in the area. So it was kind of like he gave you this manual that had strategy for kids and for youth in the area. And then I actually saw this building that had rooms that were connected to each other. Like you could walk in one room and then there was like a door and you could walk into the other room and there's a door and you could walk into another room. And each of the rooms were different colors. Now, you know, I hope that that means that there is some facility, because it was right in the middle as I was getting this stuff about kids, but that the Lord's going to give a place for you guys to walk this out. And it would be pretty cool if you walk into a building, you're like, hey, here's this room that connects to another room. So, I mean, I'm like, you know, I got to have faith for this stuff too. I'm just sharing what I saw, but that really is what I saw. There was, I think, three different rooms that were connected to each other and they had different colors of paint. But whether that was all symbolic or whatever, I felt like the Lord is going to give this heart of the Father for children and for youth, and that there is going to be a place physically in order to minister to them. Okay. Yes.
I just feel like this is for Pete. When he was talking about the relationship with him, if you're in a strained relationship with somebody, could you stand? Or with like a child where you don't feel like you're supposed to be, where you're at, where it feels like, yeah, amen. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, where there is strained relationships, God, we break the power of the enemy that would try to come in and split up families, that would try to come in and do, and even with children, Lord, youth, Lord, young people, God, where the enemy would try to use them, and, Lord, they don't think they understand, there's miscommunication. And so, Lord, we just break the power of that. And, God, we just thank you that, Lord, what we can't do in the natural, God, you can do in the spirit. And we thank you for doing it, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, I am going to hand it off to my guys here.
Hey, everyone. I'll keep it short and simple. I was asking the Lord to give me some words for some of you just to encourage you. And if felt kind of impressed upon me to do something a little bit different. So I believe I have a word for each of the people who are up here on the worship team. I felt like the Lord was kind of highlighting to me that you serve others in this, but you don't always get time to receive ministry. So you, sir, I've got one for you, I believe. I don't know why, but I was really seeing you as a teacher, and that you have the gift of teaching. And for some reason, like with what Justin was saying, I was seeing younger children and teenagers. So I think the Lord has something for you on that. I don't know if you're a teacher already or not. But I felt that you had this certain amount of joy. And I don't know why, but I got this phrase that you've contended for your joy and you've contended well. So I get the impression that you've gone through some hard things in your life, but you've really learned how to steward that joy and how to keep it even in the difficult times. And for whatever reason, I feel that that's tied really to the ability to teach children, that you have that joy. I'm not sure what that is, but I just want to encourage you with that. And hopefully it, it makes some sort of sense to you. Please, if I say something that doesn't make any sense, just throw it out. You know, take it to the Lord, and if it's no good, just throw it out. So I might, you sir in the back? Yes. So I really felt impressed upon me that you've got some relationships in your life right now where it's like you were engaging but not to the fullest extent. And it's like the Lord had some, it was like some hidden gems in relationships in your life. I have no idea who with. But there was something the Lord wanted to show you and reveal to you in that. But he was waiting for you to press in more and to engage. And it may be in the workplace. I have no idea what you do for a living. But I think it may come from some hidden sources, even from the secular world, that the Lord has some hidden things, some hidden gems that he wants to show you and things he wants to teach you, but it's going to be through people. But you're going to need to kind of open yourself up more than maybe you're normally comfortable with and engage with them on a new, deeper level, if that makes any type of sense. And there was a woman up here in a yellow shirt. Are you still here? Is she? Okay. All right, I can find her later. And then you, sir, you were on the piano. I really have no idea what this means, but I'll start with what did make sense to me. And I feel like you're at a place where you're operating below your abilities currently, that you have far more gifting than you're currently walking in. And I felt impressed upon me to really encourage you to step out. And for whatever reason, the phrasing came to me, don't be afraid if it looks a little weird at first. You need to be willing to be unique and to stand out. But you have far more than you realize. So I just want to encourage you to step out with the giftings that the Lord has given you. And I think part of that is obviously in music, but I think you have others as well. So don't be afraid to do things a little bit differently and just go with what you got. And you, sir, I don't know why exactly, but you kind of stood out to me. I think you may have, it's something to do with the ability to reach people with where they're at. I'm not sure what it is. Okay. And I mean, take this all to the Lord, and if it doesn't make sense, it may just, you know, me not hearing correctly. But I really feel like you have a certain ability where you can connect with people where they're at, that you can understand them, and because of that understanding, they'll open up to you and trust you. And I think that could really be used in a powerful way for evangelism. So that's what I got. I'll turn it over to Ed here.
Okay, I'm going to skip the words of knowledge exercise that I was going to do. I don't think we really have time. So I have some words for the church, but I had some words. I don't normally share words for the pastor's wife in front of folks, but Bob Jones says sometimes that you have a prophecy and sometimes you are the prophecy. And so I just wanted to share some things for you. So you, sir, I feel like you've tried a lot of different things in your life, and I actually even feel like you've had many opportunities come by you, and even maybe in recent time, to go off and do different things. And I feel like kind of like at the end of the time when Jesus did communion and everyone left, and Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "Will you leave also?" And they said, "Well, sir, Lord, where else would we go?" Then I feel like that's a resonant voice in your life. I feel like that there's a time that has come, if it's not even right upon you, where it's kind of like there are other opportunities, but in your heart, you're like, "God, where else would I go?" And I feel like that the word "all in" is written all over you. I feel like that you are all in. I feel like there's a deeper commitment that's coming into your life. I feel like also that there are some things. I see you carrying some things to the altar. I think there are some circumstances and even some relationships with some people, and I feel like the Lord is just saying for you to commit those things to him, that he wants to take the weight of those things off of you to free you up to the next things that you're called into doing. I also see the word koinonia written right over top of your head, and it's like a riddle for you to dismantle. Like, how do we do this? What is this, God? What's the revelation in this? And that there's going to be a depth of community that's going to be released into this place that is deeply needed and is going to be a window and a doorway into what the future church is supposed to look like. It's one of the hot topics for Rick. He talks about koinonia. That's what the church is supposed to be built upon. It is not ecclesia. It is koinonia. And I feel like that's something that the Lord is going to give you revelation into. Sorry if I'm talking really quickly here, but I feel like the Lord is going to be opening doors for you, and that he's going to be changing things here. And I think it's going to start with you. I think that like one of the themes that I was getting for a lot of people here is that there's going to be a fresh touch, that you've been touched by God, but there's a fresh touch coming. And I really saw like an injection into this place, that the Lord is coming with a fresh injection. And I feel like he's going to start with the two of you. It's not just you're the two of you, you're one. And for you, ma'am, I just see you as a mother of mothers. I just see you raising up moms. I just see that you are a mother of mothers. And I felt like one of the reasons, the main reasons that I was supposed to share this is I feel like the Lord wanted to publicly recognize your contribution. He wants to publicly recognize your contribution, that he knows you. And literally what he said was, it was like he was saying to you, you know I hear your individual voice when you sing to me, right? I love it when you sing to me. I love the sound of your voice. I see you and I hear you. And you are a precious treasure to the Lord. And I feel like hope deferred is something that you're acquainted with. And I actually saw five small spots in your heart in one chamber. And I see the Lord pouring what looks like oil and honey into these places. And he's going to be healing and filling up a deep place in you that you've been crying out to the Lord for. And I see him with his hands on your heart, gently massaging your heart. And he's going to be, it was like resuscitation, that he's going to be bringing some things back to life in you. And that that there's not a looking with where did this person that I once knew in my life go, that it's like he's going to be reintroducing yourself to part of who you really are. And that there's a newness and a freshness coming, and that the healing is for you. And that the healing that he does in you is the healing he's going to be releasing through you. And that there's a fresh, fresh, fresh thing coming for you. And it's as if you're opening the windows to your home and the wind is going to blow through it, and that there's going to be spring air and all the stale things are going to be gone. And I believe that this is a picture of what the Lord is going to do here. And I just feel like, too, that this church is not without a home. I feel like that you aren't on assignment here. I feel like it's similar to what I felt like. I talked to you a little this morning, Tom, maybe, but that there's a that you're on assignment here, that the deposit that the Lord has made. This may not be your permanent home. I don't know where that's going to be, but I feel like there's a deposit being made, that there's a shifting in the atmosphere that you all are bringing to this place every time you come here. I see angels like literally sitting in the rafters, and they don't go home when you leave. That it's like there's a shifting in the foundations of what's happening here, and it's literally going to shift, you know, the plans that people have for what this facility is going to be used for down the road. And that I also was feeling or hearing, it was like I was seeing a certain, I don't know how to describe it, it was like a representation of the prayers of the unanswered desire for some of the, and it was like leaning towards one side. And I feel like that there's a unified desire in this church that is being unmet. And I feel like the Lord wants all those folks to know that he hears, that he knows, and that he's going to be answering those things. And so what I see, I feel like the Lord is calling his sons home. That's what I was hearing. I heard that he's calling his sons home, and I see it's almost like there's a runway that's being prepared, and that the planes are going to start landing and the sons are going to start to appear. And I feel like I actually heard that there's a sign seating, and that he has the names of the people that he's calling into this place written on each chair, and he's going to go to the places they need to be. And that part of what you're going to be doing is the preparation for when this starts to take place and to unfold. Okay, that being said, you young man in the white shirt, yep, you stood out to me right away. I just heard pastor and evangelist. Now, I feel like there's even something with worship. I feel like I feel like that there's been, it's like that you've been groomed. There's something about your life that has groomed you for what you're called in to be doing. And I feel like that the spirit of adoption has been released over your life. That is the spirit of adoption, like in the old days, they would put a slave in charge of the master's son. And that slave's job was to raise up that young person, that young man, to be just like his father, so that when the day came that he came to maturity, that the father could say, if you see him, you see me. And I feel like that there's been something in your life that has matured you and grown you up, and the spirit of adoption has been actively involved in your life and is going to continue to be so. And I feel like that there is that you're a multifaceted person that can make it difficult to discern what you're called to do. And I see that you're on a rotation. It's like you're going to be rotating through various things in your life, various things that you're going to be doing, and that it's going to make it hard for you to see the bigger picture. But he's saying, just trust me, because all of these things that are coming to play, and I do believe at some point that you're going to be called to the nations. Now, I'm not necessarily saying you're called to be an evangelist to go and live somewhere, but I do feel like there's going to be travel in your life. I was looking at this family over here, and I feel like there's an inheritance over your family that's being released. And I feel like part of it is the stewardship that you've had as a family, that you as the parents. I feel like that the inheritance that you're passing down to your children is being multiplied. And I feel like that's going to continue. I feel like that's going to continue. And I actually see, I've never seen this before, I see a cloud over your heads that is golden and shining, and it's got holiness written over it. And I feel like that there is an opportunity that's sitting over you for holiness to rest upon you. It's not that you're not now. It's an opportunity to be set further apart, and that it's like you can reach up and pull it down. It's like an individual choice that you each have, and that you're gonna pull it down, and that things are gonna really start to open up for you. And I actually thought the first person that stood out to me was you, and I heard meekness is not weakness. That it's really restrained power. And I actually heard a very strange phrase. It was like, quiet in stature, mighty in spirit. And I literally heard loud in the spirit, like a roaring. And I feel like there's a challenge over you to be praying big prayers and to be bold in these places. And I feel like that even in a place that the Lord is going to be opening doors and windows for you to be able to see some of the fruit of your prayers to encourage you, but that you're supposed to trust in the one that you're praying to, who happens to be the same one that is in you. And I feel like that the prayers and the intercession that you're going to do is going to be opening up, is going to be your key, your door to opening up the supernatural realm. I feel like there's a place where you're going to go in intercession that's going to open up the doors for you to really have supernatural encounters with the Lord. And I feel like that the Lord at some point, this is down the road, that down the road that you're going to be put on assignment, the Lord's going to know that he puts you on assignment over a place or a region that literally the demons are going to flee out of that place. It's a place that you're called to down the road. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the worship leader, the guys on the keys. I feel like I'm not even sure how to describe it. I feel like that you had an encounter with the Lord, probably when you were young. I feel like that there was something that the Lord came and touched your life. And I feel like this is for a lot of people, that the Lord came and touched your life and he's going to do it again. I feel like that you have a real gift from the Lord. I feel like that you steward it, that you use it, that you haven't just planted it into the ground. But I feel like this next encounter that's coming, this next wave of encounter for you that's coming is going to inhabit you. And it's going to inhabit it's going to inhabit your gifting. And I just feel like there's a freshness coming. And it's like, and I don't know, I know what it looks like when I see it, but it's hard to describe. It's like, instead of the Lord blessing what you're doing, what comes out of you is going to be blessed. It's a subtle shift, but it means the world. And I feel like that it's really a place of encounter and intimacy. And I play that. I really feel like that it's going to be like the color. If you could see your voice as colors, that the color is going to change. That's going to come out of you, and it's really going to start to touch people. Not that it's not already touching people, but it's a different place. It's to a higher level. I just, since you already talked about him, I just wanted to kind of, I was staring out at the waterfalls, and I just kept seeing your face, and I felt like there was a lot of water over the bridge. And I felt like you had seen a lot of things in your life and experienced a lot of things, and a lot of things had gone by. But I feel like what I was feeling like was that life was going to start to flow through you. That there was something was happening. It's the contending, whatever the other side of whatever it is that you've been going through, that you're going to become a life-giving instrument. That the life of God is going to flow through you. And I felt like the Lord said that he is going to taste of my waters and they are going to be sweet. And sir, I don't really have much of a word for you, but I just heard Thomas, doubting Thomas. And I feel like I feel like the Lord's just saying, enough said. I feel like you're going to have an encounter with the Lord, that it's going to be as if when Thomas came and he said, I need to see the wounds for myself. And that he touched the, you know, he could put his fingers inside his side. And I feel like that he is coming for you. He's going to give you an encounter and he's going to answer all of your questions. And then you're never going to doubt again. And then you're going to walk into things that you never imagined that you could walk in, much less that you may even question whether you believe him or not. All right. For you, young lady, I heard maternity. And I want to be careful how I say it. So I've said this before, but I'll use Leanne Payne. Leanne Payne was a wonderful woman of God who went to go home with the Lord, and she used to use the term that the Lord would put a burden upon her, like to write a book, she said, he makes me pregnant with book, and that it sits in me and sits in me and sits me until it becomes so uncomfortable, I can't wait to get this thing out. And so I feel like you're pregnant with some things of the Lord. I feel like that it's like you're almost like you're fertile, but there are some things that the Lord has given you that you are pregnant with. I feel like there's some creative outlets, like I see writing, and I almost felt like poems, but there will be things that I feel like that there are things that the Lord has given you that he is going to make you pregnant with until it's like you have to get it out of you. And then it's going to really touch a lot of people. And I actually have, I see, it's almost like they're flowing out of your fingers, that you get into a flow with God, and I just see that these things, and right now I think they look like tattered edges, and that these things all come together in pieces. And I believe also that one of the things you're going to be able to do is that whatever he's doing in your life right now, that you're going to be able to help people to be able to hone their vision, that you're going to be able to help people take the pieces of the things that God has been showing them that they don't understand, and that you're going to be able to see it clearly. You're going to be able to help them to almost like publish or to bring things together, the loose ends of the things of God, to help them to be able to understand what God is saying and to be able to release it into the body of Christ that's needed. Lady with the glasses back there, I don't know if this makes any sense at all, but I felt like the Lord is saying, you're not without power and not without a voice. And I said, the Father is intimately involved with you and with your children. And I feel like that you're going to visibly start to see his interaction in your life and with your children. And I feel like what I was seeing is like, that you're going to be able to see and to be able to mold and shape your life and the future lives of your children by the very words and the spirit that you utter out. And I feel like it's a distinction that wanted to be made, is that this isn't about control, that this is about collaboration. This is that co-laboring with God, and it's going to radically shift the way that you do things. And I feel like it's going to be such an empowering thing that when you really start to see the fullness thing walking out, it's going to change parenting. I think you're really going to have, people are going to start to come to you to understand what is going on, because they're going to start to see the shift that's going to start happening. And it's just operating from that different place. It's getting into the Father's heart of, even in the feminine side of him, and saying, what are you trying to do in this place? And just agreeing with what he's already set into motion. Sir in the back with a red shirt, yep, that's you. I felt like I feel like the Lord's about to turn your world upside down. I feel like literally that he's going to start to show you things that are going to cause you to really scratch your head. that he's going to start showing you things that are just going to be like, what is that? I don't know what to do with that. And I see that it's literally going to cause you to go running to God to figure out what this is. And I feel like it's going to radically shift who God is in you, and who the picture of God is in a fuller extent for you. And I really believe that this is a fresh touch that's going to come for you, and it's going to radically shift the enormity of who God is in a very personal and tangible way for you. And there was a man, I don't see him in here anymore. He was sitting over here. He had a tattoo on his calf, a red shirt. Okay. Well, I'll just give the word, and then you can give it to him later. I saw the Lord taking a rag that was dipped in the blood of Jesus, and I saw him wiping it across his past, across his timeline. And I saw a tree, which is like, I believed it's his family tree line, and I saw him literally washing the roots of that tree. And I feel like that there is a supernatural call upon his life and a supernatural encounter. I saw a beam of light that was literally engulfing him. And I saw that there's something about the generations of his family that the Lord's going to redeem, that there's always been a supernatural call on his generation. There's always been a supernatural call upon what they're supposed to be walking. And it may have been in an unredeemed sense, but going forward, it's not going to be the case. And that there's going to be a radical shift in things. I feel like there's going to be dreams and visions. I feel like he's going to be seeing things almost with the naked eye. Yeah, you, sir. That's who I'm talking about. So I'm going to repeat that. I see the Lord with a rag that is dipped in the blood of Jesus, and I see him washing it over your timeline, over your whole life. And I see a tree, which I think represents your generations, and I see the roots of that tree, which go very deep, and I see him that he's washing and dipping those roots in the blood of Jesus. And I see that he's going to be redeeming your bloodline. I feel like there's a supernatural call in your life. My eye was drawn to you more than anyone else, and I felt like you were literally kind of almost illuminated, and I feel like there's a supernatural encounter that's coming to you. I feel like there's always been a supernatural call over your life and over your generations, and I'm pretty sure that even in the back of your generations that there were people that were operating in the supernatural, but maybe in an unredeemed sense, but the Lord's going to go and redeem all of those giftings. And I also felt that there is that you've had a loss that was very close to you, and I feel like that that there's an emptiness that's been there, and I see that the Lord in this encounter that you're going to have with him, I see him even starting right now. I feel like he's going to start to fill that place in, that you're not going to lack anymore, and that you're going to know the Father, you're going to know him as a Father, and that you yourself are a good Father, and he's proud of you. You young lady in the gray or the tan or whatever a woman would call that color. We just say khaki. We're guys, right? I feel like people are really drawn to you. And I feel like it's almost to the place where it can be really kind of overwhelming and can really kind of wear you out and draw you away, and I feel like that there's something that's shifting for you in your life that's going to change that. And I feel like Lord wanted to say that you've done unbelievably well. I see that it's like the hand that was dealt to you, it's almost miraculous, your life and who you are, that he's unbelievably proud of you. And I see that I just hear the word that he's reshuffling the deck for you. He's going to reshuffle everything. He's like hitting the reset button. And I I heard reverse drainage. And so what I think that means is that these things that once used to drain you, that once this process that you're going to go through with the Lord, that now they're going to bring life to you, that you're going to come from a place of fullness. And I feel like even right now, I feel like that literally the coloring over your life is going to change. That it's almost like the complexion is going to change over you, and that you're not alone. You've never been alone, and I feel like he's going to be meeting you in your dreams, and I feel like that if you invite him in, he's going to be entering into every painful moment of your life, and that those places are no longer going to haunt you. The voices are not going to be there anymore, and they really are. He's going to touch your heart, and that these broken and cracked places, it's like as I'm talking to you, it's like I see, it's like a, it's like a clay pot. It's just got cracks in it, and that place, they're not going to be cracked anymore. And that you really aren't alone, and he's going to be your constant companion. He always has been, but he's going to demonstrate it to you. Yeah, I think that'll be it. I think I used up enough time. All right. Who am I going to turn this over to? Pastor?
That's just what you want to do.
Was that good? Yeah, let's just offer a clap offering for these guys. Thank you. Can we pray over you guys before we leave? Can y'all come up right quick?
I had words I want to step out and be obedient to. I saw you like a military man through a career coming through. And in the beginning, you were head down going to camp to camp. You were doing what you were told to do. You were faithful. And it was like, 'cause you were starting and it was grunt work basically. And then you just, as you grew and grew, your chest was up, you were respected by your men. And the motivation there was love. Sometimes God talks to me through secular songs, and I heard a song with a lyric that said, "It's your love. It shoots right through me." And that's, you've been radically changed by God's love, and I see you serving for him in a powerful way, where you're serving now and you rise to just a place of respect. And then for you, I heard God say, the underestimated sidekick. And I saw you like in a Mission Impossible movie where you were kind of the person thought that you were the one with the other, with the leader. And you were taking all this stuff in. I hope this is making sense because I'm trying to go fast. But it was like this meeting of two different like opposing forces. And you were seemingly in the background, but you were taking it all in. And in the end, you were the secret weapon. It was like you came in with all this like karate, type stuff. And you were underestimated because you were drawn away and you were listening to the voice of God.
Justin, I'm Josh. I saw you, don't do this as an offense. I saw your face and your nose was flat, like you'd run into a wall and it was, like in the cartoons, they go boing, and they flatten the nose. And I heard the phrase, "Your nose knows best." And the phrase was flipped, "Your nose doesn't know." And it's like I saw you as you'd run into a wall and you feel like your natural abilities have been stunted. And the Lord says, "Finally, it's not you, it's Christ in you that lives. It's not your senses, it's my senses through you. It's not your nose that knows best, it's my blood covers you and knows best. It's my spirit will teach you all wisdom and knowledge." And that redeems the mistake. If there was a mistake, if you ran into a wall out of your own strength, that redeems the mistake because it's not you, it's the Spirit in you. God does not see that mistake. He sees the blood covering you, which redeems the mistake. I was talking to my mom just a couple days ago about the prophetic picture of the sacrifice. The original law was the priest saw the spotless lamb that the worshiper brought, and if the lamb was perfect, the sin was covered. And the sin... our sin is covered once and for all because Jesus is perfect. So we are no longer examined as the worshiper. The lamb is examined. The mistake is no longer examined because it's covered. Your nose is not flattened out of your own fault and you're just screwed up for the rest of your life. It's the Spirit inside of you is redeeming, has redeemed, and will redeem forever. I even saw you holding a balloon and... the balloon was your mother, and I don't know your relationship. I don't want to purport to know anything, but I kind of heard that you are doing more for your mother than she is doing for you. And if that's not true, then forgive me, because I feel like this is going to be very personal. But the Lord's yoke is easy, and his burden is light. And I don't want you to feel like, and if it's not your mother, then so be it. But I don't feel like his burden on you is something that is yours to carry. And I don't want to tell you how to act around those that are related to you, but his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Some may even say it's not a yoke or a burden because it's light and it's easy. It's like putting on clothes. It's nothing. And I'm going to let the Spirit illuminate that a little more, because if I'm off base, I don't want to go any farther. But the truth of the matter is His Spirit will lead you into all truth, and that goes back and redeems the first word. So take that if you will, and if not, then so be it. But
Thank you very much.
I think that's awesome. About it, yeah.
Yes, just extend your hands towards them. Father, thank you. You have truly blessed us today with these men. And so, Lord, we want to just speak blessings back on them. Father, pray that you would just help us to continue to walk in maturity and to gain knowledge and wisdom and understanding of what you are calling us to and what you want us to walk in. And so, Lord, thank you for the seeds that have been sown today in our lives. And, Lord, we just want to return that by saying, bless them, Lord. Just guide their steps. Thank you for letting us interact here today, Father, because you are a good daddy and you love us so much. And so we're grateful in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys. Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you for having us. Awesome.